And I'll pray with you in just a moment, Mercy. But I had another sense that I really think this talk will actually illustrate one of the functions of the Holy Spirit as described in the Scripture. And that is to turn our hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. As we hear what Mercy's prepared and what we've prayed with her, and we will pray with her again, these words, if you have the courage, will turn your hearts of stone, heart of stone, into a heart of flesh. Please. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for Mercy. We thank you for all the work that she put into this and all the wonderful things that she's found about the Holy Spirit and how she's going to convey those words of yours, words of life, words of hope, words of faith to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Neil. And I just wanted to say, people are so kind. You know, I've had quite a few of you sort of messaged me beforehand and spoken to me beforehand saying, I'm praying for you. I'm with you. I'm team, well, I think team Holy Spirit is what they mean. Thank you. It's just so kind. And one of you even said, don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will inspire you. So, you know, whatever will be. No, I have prepared. Yes, the first slide shows you some of the names of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who know me know that I like languages, particularly old languages, and I love talking about languages and where they come from and the roots of words. So I will inflict a little bit of this on you. I've been very restrained and only done it on a few occasions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you on a whistle-stop tour of the role of the Holy Spirit in revealing God's plan for salvation to us. And in preparing for this talk, I realized there's so much in Scripture about the Holy Spirit, I can't possibly include it all. And I may leave some of your passages, your favorite Holy Spirit passages, out of this presentation. Please forgive me. But I prayed about it and thought about it and did basically a big Bible study on the Holy Spirit. So here we go. I hope that this will inspire you as it inspired me. There, we already have a reference to the Holy Spirit. He inspired me. Comes from the Latin verb spirare, to breathe, with the root spare, where spirit comes from. So as we inspire, we breathe in the Holy Spirit. So we'll look at some of the key scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I will conclude by looking at the significance of the Holy Spirit in the age that we live in now. My aim is really to build a story arc with some of these pictures. So hopefully in the next slide behind you is, yes, one from my childhood, really. So growing up, we had a print of the Rublev icon, as it's known, in our house. And my dad would explain to us what the images meant. So this is a Russian icon, where you see three men, or maybe they're the angels who visited Abraham and sat under the oak tree at Mamre. But the icon painter Rublev embeds a deeper meaning here. You can also read it as God the Father sitting on the left, Jesus the Son in the middle, and the Holy Spirit on the right. And my dad would explain the meaning of the colors of their garments and what the meaning of each of the objects in the icon are. Everything has a meaning. I won't really go into all that because it'll take quite a long time, but you can find it online if you look up Rublev icon. There are multiple levels of meaning. For me, this icon has remained one of the most powerful representations of the Holy Spirit. So thinking of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, you know, you will have heard it said that the New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament, and that the Old Testament is the foreshadowing of the New Testament. Now, looking at the Old Testament, it is possible to overlook the action of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, but he was most definitely there and at work. So the Old Testament, as you know, was written in Hebrew, and in Hebrew, the Holy Spirit is referred to by the word ruach. Ruach is a Hebrew word, which apparently, I don't know Hebrew, but it means breath, wind, or some invisible moving force The root of the Hebrew word means moving air. So to just translate ruach as spirit is a little bit limiting because it can also mean the thoughts, the characteristics of God himself. And in the New Testament, we know that the Holy Spirit is referred to in Greek because it's written in Greek, and he's known as the pneuma. Pneuma means wind, air, breath, life, spirit, spiritual being, inspiration. And we still use the word in conditions like medical conditions that affect our airways, like pneumonia. And we even use it in pneumatic drills. So the Old Testament gives us glimpses of the Holy Spirit, but his person appears veiled, as does the person of the Messiah. In the Old Testament, God the Father is really the main actor. And I'll quote some of the following scriptures to demonstrate where the Holy Spirit is being talked about in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 1, creation, the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. Now we know that God used his creative powers when he spoke, creating the world. So when God speaks, he uses breath, just as we use breath when we speak. And that breath is known as ruach again. So God, in speaking, uses his breath, uses his ruach, his spirit, to create the world and everything in it. God also uses his breath, his ruach, to send his word, Jesus, the Logos. So here we see that the Father sends the Son and the Spirit at the same time. They work together. It all seems a bit mystical, I know, but it's there in Scripture. So Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God, but the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals Jesus. So then there are symbols of the Holy Spirit as well. He has ways that are tangible and visible by which he reveals himself to us. So the first of these is water. Water is a sign of new birth. Just as we were carried in water in our mother's wombs, so the water of baptism signifies our new birth into the divine life given to us in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, by one Spirit we were all baptized, and we are also made to drink of one Spirit. This is the well of living water welling up within us to eternal life. So water is a sign of fruitfulness. In the Old Testament, you probably all know the references to water. There's the flood, first of all, and there's the crossing of the Red Sea, all very powerful symbols of, in a sense, death and life, rebirth. And in the New Testament, we see Jesus himself being baptized in water in the River Jordan. Another symbol, a manifestation really, of God's, of the Holy Spirit, is oil. So in the Old Testament, oil was used to anoint kings. Jesus is called the Anointed One, in Hebrew, the Mashiach. And he is anointed by the Holy Spirit in his baptism. In the New Testament, Jesus, the Mashiach, in Greek is known as the Christ. The Greek is the Christos, comes from the Greek word chrio, which means to besmear, literally to rub on something sticky. And the noun is chrisma, which is an unguent or an oil. So it's quite a physical thing when you think about it. So Jesus Christ, Jesus Christos in Greek, is Jesus the Anointed One. As some people have sometimes said, is Christ his surname? No, it's not. It's just, it's he, Jesus the Anointed One. So the Holy Spirit anoints Jesus at his baptism because he's filled then with the power to perform his deeds of healing and salvation. Closely tied to oil as a symbol, so we're still with symbols of the Holy Spirit, is the word seal. So Jesus talks in John 6 about God having put his seal on the Son of Man. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about he has put his seal upon us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Another symbol of the Holy Spirit is fire. We just talked about that, and we had that slide that Neil showed the children. So in the Old Testament, fire is the sign of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament, it's Elijah and the prophets of Baal. That's the very powerful passage. He's got his one sacrifice, and the prophets of Baal have countless altars they've built for their sacrifices. And you all know the story. Elijah prays, and the fire, God sends down his fire from heaven and consumes Elijah's sacrifice, not the other ones. And in the New Testament, John the Baptist talks about the one to come in Luke. He will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus himself says, I came to cast fire upon the earth, and would that it were already kindled. There you sort of sense Jesus' impatience, some of the emotion of Jesus. You know, he wants the fire of the Holy Spirit to already be here. But first he has to ascend before the Spirit can come. Then another way the Spirit is manifested in Scripture is through cloud or light. In the Old Testament, we have in Exodus, we have when the Israelites travel through the desert, we have the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. This is the presence of the living and the saving God who accompanies the Israelites. But on Mount Sinai, ironically, or not ironically, probably, no, that's the wrong word. On Mount Sinai, the cloud veils. Here his function is to veil the fullness of God's glory, because otherwise Moses would be consumed. And in 1 Kings, after Solomon has built the temple and he dedicates the temple is filled with a cloud, in Hebrew the Shekinah, which is a visible sign of the presence of Yahweh taking possession of his sanctuary. And in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit overshadows, perhaps in some sort of cloud-like way, he overshadows Mary so she would conceive and bear the Messiah. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was overshadowed by a cloud. And then Jesus himself is taken up in a cloud on Ascension Day. Another symbol of the Holy Spirit is the hand. You know, we all have hands. We use them all the time. We need them. And Jesus uses his hands. He lays them on people to heal them and bless them. And the apostles, by laying on hands, impart the Holy Spirit. This is in the book of Acts. Then we're going to get, this is a slight aside, this is a little indulgence of my own. Another symbol of the Holy Spirit is the finger. The finger of God is sometimes referred to in Scripture. So God writes the laws of Moses on tablets of stone using the finger of God in Scripture. And in 2 Corinthians, it says, you yourselves are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Now, this painting, this was in my children's Bible growing up, and when I was thinking of pictures of the finger of God, so I've just read two scriptures that talk about the finger of God writing things. This is a painting by Rembrandt, which was in my Bible as a child, where it's in the book of Daniel, where King Belshazzar, the king, the son of King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians, is holding a banquet for his nobles, and they are feasting and they're worshipping the Babylonian gods, when all of a sudden a human hand appears and starts to write in Hebrew on the walls. And then Daniel is hauled in and he's got to interpret what's been said. And it's not good. But Belshazzar is basically warned, you have ignored what your father was told by the God of the Israelites. So if you do not repent and mend your ways, you will come to a sticky end. And he does. But this painting, it has always stayed with me. It was in my Bible, so I just thought I'd put it in there. Another symbol of the Holy Spirit is the dove. No picture here. The dove, yes, after the flood in the Old Testament, you know that Noah sends out a dove to see if the earth is once again habitable. And you know he comes back, good news, the earth is once again ready for business. And in the New Testament, after his baptism, Jesus rises up out of the Jordan and the Holy Spirit appears above him in the form of a dove and remains with him. So I'm now moving firmly into New Testament times, although I've already sort of strayed into that. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is referred to as Ruach and is somewhat veiled. In the New Testament, he's now referred to by his Greek name, the Pneuma, the air, wind, breath, inspiration. So it's the same person, but now in a Greek jacket. Whatever a Greek jacket looks like. Yes, now in the New Testament, Jesus and the Holy Spirit work together more closely in the language of promise. We see this at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He stands up in the synagogue and speaks the words of Isaiah. This is in Luke 4. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then moving on, Peter speaks of the fulfillment of this promise on Pentecost in the book of Acts. And Peter says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams, and it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, we've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit just now. We have prayed in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's, I think, particularly for us as charismatic Christians, we can be, and I shall just speak for myself, you can be a little bit too at ease with the Trinity, perhaps. But this, looking at these passages has really reminded me of the reality that the Holy Spirit isn't sort of the cherry on the cake or the optional extra, you know. He had to come. In fact, he was already there. He was there from the beginning of creation. So Jesus, in John 14, he says that to his disciples, because he's now nearing the end of his life, he's been preparing them for his departure, and he says to them, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." Jesus is the first counselor, obviously, "to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So this counselor, we need him. And we all know that the Holy Spirit works in us, and just speaking for myself, he works in me by reminding me of things. He nudges me to, he brings scriptures to mind. He brings people to mind. He convicts me of things I've done wrong or things I could really improve on. He gives me insights that I wouldn't have had with my own abilities, really. The counselor in the New Testament is not just referred to as the pneuma. You know, he refers to him as the pneuma, the wind, Jesus, when he's talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is trying to understand what is going on. Who is this strange prophet? And Jesus says to him, you know, see how the wind moves? And in Greek, it's the pneuma. See how he moves? You don't see him, but you know he's been there. You know he's done things. And Nicodemus, he gets it. The other name that the Holy Spirit is referred to in the New Testament as is the paraclete, the parakletos. Indulge me for a moment. That's a Greek word. It literally means he who has been called alongside you. He comes alongside you. And what does he do when he's alongside you? He's there to assist you. He's there to comfort you, to counsel you, to pray for you. That's what he's there for. So in conclusion, really, for me, these little sort of gems that I've given you, for me, are a bit like beads on a string or the arc of a rainbow. You know, they started in the promises of God, starting at the beginning of creation and then all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament. I haven't quite got to the book of Revelation, and I won't today, but you see there's an arc, there's a set of promises for all of us, and it's on Pentecost, really, that the whole Trinity is revealed. The kingdom announced by Jesus is now open to not just the Jews, but to all of us, to all the Gentiles as well. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what it's given to us, is the first gift of the Holy Spirit, which is love. And within the gift of love are contained all the other gifts that we need. Whatever the gift is that you need, ask for it. for me sometimes, it's patience or wisdom. I need a lot of that. Yes. So this has all been quite high level, I realize. It's been like a high-speed Bible study. So I thought I must make this a little bit personal as well. I've tried to. But as I was preparing this for this, I saw your faces in my mind's eye, and I thought many of you have probably far more impressive testimonies about the Holy Spirit than me. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about my own, but I will leave you with some questions which we would love you to talk about in your sharing group about the Holy Spirit. So, you know, for me, I can divide my experiences into what I call wow kapow experiences of the Holy Spirit, and then there's the day-to-day experiences. I have a lot more day-to-day than wow kapow. I would say the wow kapow experiences of the action of the Holy Spirit in my life is probably in relationships. You know how relationships can be very difficult. People can be very difficult. Starting with myself, and how I think that I am the perfect medium. Why can't everybody be like me? And you know, and that's where the problem starts. But when I've prayed for relationships, I've prayed for those insoluble difficulties. I've prayed in the Spirit, and I've asked others to pray for me. I have seen the Lord work, particularly in relationships with people close to me. You know, people in my family. And I think that's actually some of the most wow kapow stuff in my life, because, you know, you can go to a counselor, you can go to a psychiatrist, and they can tell you a lot of stuff about your relationships, but they can't ultimately solve it. Only the Spirit can. My day-to-day experiences of the Holy Spirit are what I call my kitchen sink epiphanies. When I'm standing at the kitchen sink and I'm doing, you know, something mindless, like washing something up, which is quite soothing, I find, and you're sort of thinking about things. And I think of that invisible moving force that is the Holy Spirit. To me, the Holy Spirit is like the yeast in the dough. I quite like making bread. And you see, you know, you mix your dough up and you put it aside in the airing cupboard often, and then you go back in 2 hours' time and it's doubled in size. Magic, if you don't know anything about chemistry. That's one sort of analogy for myself. Another one is it's the petrol in the tank. You know, if I don't have petrol in the tank of my car, obviously the car isn't going anywhere. If I don't have the Holy Spirit working through me, I'm not going anywhere. I cannot live my life as a disciple without him. Another way that I experience the Holy Spirit is a bit like the wind in the sails of a ship. In my mind, my ship is quite small, but it's got quite big sails. And once the wind of the Spirit gets into those sails, whoa, just wait and see what happens. It's amazing, even though the ship can be quite small. So yes, final conclusion. The Holy Spirit brings those things to your mind that you couldn't probably bring to mind yourself. And he brings you wisdom, and he brings the Bible to life to you. And that, brothers and sisters, is it. There will be some questions now, which, back to the Rublev icon. So these questions are in the newsletter as well. And you can take a picture of them as well if you're a sharing group leader. But they are in the newsletter sent out by James. So, you know, really think about these things. I inflicted these on my sharing group a few weeks ago because I was just really curious to know what they thought about, what their experiences were of the Holy Spirit. And I thought it was amazing. I was really so inspired by what the ladies in my group came up with. And I hadn't prompted them at all. It was there and then. You know, it was hot off the press. So I pray and hope that talking about this in your sharing groups, you will be really blessed and inspired. Amen.